This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Everybody, we are back. It is Tape Don't Lie, your favorite Raiders podcast, favorite Raiders channel, favorite Raiders breakdowns. We are back. We're live on YouTube once again. You know, I think you guys, some of you guys like this, and we like this format too. So we keep going live more often. So if you're online, you just got done watching Monday Night Football, watch the football team who we're playing this week. We're ready to count how many times we say Redskins this week. So, but first reviewing the game previously. So
you're trying to get us canceled.
I know, man. Exactly. So, make sure you guys subscribe, right? Hit the subscribe button. Go ahead, hit the like button. If you like it, hit the dislike button. If you dislike it, if you want to leave a comment, if you like it, leave a comment. If you dislike it, you guys already know what to do. Manscaped.com. Like I said, we're getting closer to Christmas. Discount code TDL. Also get you a shirt. Get you somebody a shirt for Christmas. Go ahead and go to Bonfire. Go get you one of the TDL blackout shirts. My sweater just came in the mail. I just got my sweater. So go ahead and get you one. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and get you one. I'm ready for the Senior Bowl, bro. I got to go see. I got to represent the Senior Bowl. People get asked, what's Tape Don't Lie? I got to let them know. Right. If I see a scout, I got to be like, hey, check me out. You know what I'm saying? So, and also make sure you follow us on Twitter at @TheMarkJohnNFL, at BDWilliams18. So BD Williams, we're coming off a win. Been a while since we had a win episode. About 3 weeks. You know, you had a nice little baby break between one of them. Sure. And experienced one of the losses. But we're back to a win. A win.
I experienced it. I just didn't do a live reaction.
Didn't break it down. You didn't give us a breakdown. You know what I mean?
No.
So, but this week we're back. You know, everybody's excited. You know, there's just Derek Carr pack videos are out there. Derek Carr is back. He's the legend again. And, you know, all those videos are out there. Everybody's excited. Raiders came off a win. You know what I mean? He's the greatest quarterback in the world again. You know, unstoppable offense. Deshaun Jackson's back. Deshaun Jackson's unleashed.
All
the narratives that are out there right now. We'll see about all that later on during the season. But you know, I thought the offense performance was cool. I really wasn't that too excited about it. Their success rate was only like 40%, so that means they were struggling to move the football. I think they were played against a team with a really bad game plan. Like if you're going to play on an island, you're leaving Anthony Brown on an island. Derek Carr's going to keep throwing the deep. He's going to keep having pass interference.
They never adjusted to that? They never put a safety?
No, they never adjusted.
It's weird.
Super weird. Never adjusted. I think they thought like they could win. And if they could stop the run, then the Raiders would, you know, be in trouble. But they were wrong, obviously. So I wouldn't expect to see anybody else do that game plan. That game plan was kind of stupid. So that's why I'm not. But and then the Raiders, you know, still 3-13 on third down. I mean, they still struggled on third down a lot. I thought their pass protection was a lot better. The run blocking is good, but, you know, Jacobs and Drake are still blind. There's a lot of that going on still. But
missing the holes.
Yes, they're still blind. Yeah, they're missing holes. But when they do play action, man, they're probably one of the best play action teams in football right now. So they do play action. They're basically unstoppable. So, and they did it a lot this game. So all their plays that were successful in this game that I counted were basically the play action plays. And that's how they got all their chunk plays, a lot of their deep throws were off play action, except like the Jackson one. So their play action game is where it's at. And then Derek Carr is like way better in the pocket off play action too, which I think is super interesting. He has some great pocket. I mean, even in any game that I've seen since Greg Olsen's come back, his pocket movement under play action is a lot different than it is in, you know, other types of pass plays. So I think if they keep play actioning, you're doing more play action, it's not even a word, but I think if they do more play action, I think they'll be fine going forward in this season, even if teams are playing too high. because I think the play action will still help. Even the Bengals, when they're in too high, those linebackers are crashing on first down, even then. So if they can do more play action on first down, especially on second down, because they had a lot of second down runs this week, which I hated. But I think they can. The play action is working. But I didn't
think. What did you think about the play calling? Like, when they're dialing up shots, obviously, proof is in the pudding, they won the game, so it worked. But what was your impression? Like, has it improved a little bit because they were going heavy with, like, the screens, first down screens, just, like, short stuff real quick out of the backfield? How have they changed?
I think what we're seeing is more of, like, a Sean McVay version of the Gruden offense, which, you know, I think McVay put his own element. And, you know, Sean Payton, you know, the Gruden, Sean Payton, West Coast type of thing. We're seeing like the Sean McVay version of that right now from Greg Olsen. So, I mean, a lot of it is a lot of stuff I saw earlier this year, especially what they're doing with DeSean Jackson is what Sean McVay was trying to do to DeSean Jackson. So we're seeing a lot of that. But I think the second down runs are killing me. I think there's just too many second and long runs, too many. Putting your team in a bad bind and they're not good on third down. They need easier third downs. That's what they need. They need easy third down. So if you're going to pass on first and you don't get it, you're going to have to pass on second. I mean, that's basically how you're looking at it at this point. I mean, if you pass on first and you get like second and five and you want to run, that's fine. But, you know, you got to make the decision. Like, that's got to stop. But, you know, I think a lot of the things that's happening are just execution. I think like the reverses, people don't like those, but I mean, there's two missed holes back to back on that. I mean, I think the run game looks a lot better. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? If you have guys missing holes, you're not going to do it. And I don't think the play calling is that bad. I think it just the situational play calling is a little bad to me. But I think like the designs and the schematic part of it is really stuff that can work against any defense and any look. But Carr just needs time. And he had time this game too. But the Cowboys also played single high press man-to-man like the Raiders can't pass. So that was...
All
right.
Okay.
What about you, BD? What you think about the defensive performance?
I wasn't super juiced about it. Like when I watched it broadcast,
yeah.
And then I went back over and you know and watched the film, and I thought that you know there was definitely some really good moments in there for the defense. You know, at the same time though, like Casey Hayward had like a really bad game, and we were saying like he's going to handle Michael Gallup. No. He did not. But it wasn't like he was like doing everything right, and Michael Gallup was just like beating him with like circus catches. Like he was like doing uncharacteristic things, you know, like just like young player kind of mistakes. So I think that there was definitely some kind of he was like trying to guess or you know and do things like that, and it was just backfiring on him a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting because usually like he's a playmaker for the Raiders defense, and he wasn't. And then when I looked at it and looking at the film, seeing how many mistakes some of these wide receivers and even the tight end, Schultz, right? That's him.
Yeah.
Dalton Schultz, how many mistakes these wide receivers were making, how many passes they were dropping from Dak. You know, I was actually discouraged after coming away from it because this team with all their backups missing their star wide receivers, right? Like, they still, you know, were punching all the way to the fifth quarter with the Raiders. You know, it took them, you know, the team, you know, five quarters to beat them when they were down. And, you know, when I'm seeing all these wide receivers making mistakes and dropping balls and stuff like that, I'm like, if one of either Amari Cooper or CeeDee Lamb is out there, Raiders lose that game. Sorry.
Yeah. I thought that from the beginning. I thought the Raiders get it.
I'm sorry.
From the beginning, bro. Like, if Dak Prescott had all his weapons, yeah, that would have been a different game. Because what happened was this Dak, you know, he's off with those guys because they're not his guys every once in a while. But he's just, you know, everybody, yeah. You're making fun of me about how much I was, you know, hyping up Dak before on the preview. But you saw why, because the fourth quarter started and then all of a sudden, like, doop, 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 doop with all these bums. So, and then he's just, I think they kind of just got dacked a little bit. I don't know how much you can read into it. I think that's a little bit, they just got dacked a little bit to me at that point. Because, you know, that the throw to Gallup, even though Hayward, you know, he got beat a couple times, but the last throw, like, I mean, that was like crazy. That was just perfect placement. There's really nothing Hayward could have done. He's nothing he could have done.
Some really good throws in this one. Some really good throws to beat coverages. So you're like, okay, chalk it up. Like, this is just being a great NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Who can make some face melting throws, you know, but at the same time, like, you know, and I'll show it in my preview and I'll mention it when we're going through it, you know, or the review, but there's definitely like just a lot of missed opportunities by these wide receivers, you know? So, and not even that the Raiders were like forcing these errors. Like, you know, these are just like unforced errors from the wide receivers. Okay. So, who do you want to go first?
I just go into it, you know, just do it.
All right. Yeah. So go ahead. Hop in, let us know, you know, your takeaways here.
Yeah, well, I'll talk about what I'm covering, I guess, you know, kind of give you guys a little bit. So, I'm, you know, going over some John Simpson today. You know, I've been holding out. I've been seeing a lot of the hate on PFF. You know what I'm saying? I've been seeing the grades. I really agree with them, but, you know what I'm saying? He gave me the game. Now I can stun on you guys. So, we got the John Simpson. And then I'm going to do a little DeSean Jackson. And then I got to show my boy Jalen Richard some love. Jalen Richard came in, and this is totally different team on third down. Totally different team on third down picking up blitzes. So I gotta show him some love, but let's get into it. All right. So let's start off with my boy John Simpson, man. I just, you know, he just had a good game. And, you know, start off with him in pass pro here on the DeSean Jackson pass. Now, you see, you know, his hands are outside still. He still bothers me with his damn hands. But you see that he has a better base, better, you know, feet. His feet aren't as wide, and he has a really good block there. He's able to have Derek Carr have some room, step up, make a great throw, right? Then you see him here with the pancake. This is why they got to fight Tristan Hill, right? Tristan Hill got mad at him. Ooh, this is why he tried to get punched him after the game. Pancake, and then he threw a little finish, too. Add a little finish to it. You know what I mean? You know, Tristan didn't like that. He remembered that. Tristan had a good memory. So you see here, I want to talk about how low his pad level is. Look at the rest of the line. Look at John Simpson. Look how low his pad level, right? And, you know, he still has the bad hands, but the pad level allows him just to push 91 out of the way, right? 91, get out of the club. But that's based on pad, right? But he still has that. Hands are just way, way too outside, you know? And, you know, you see here, there's a stunt here. So watch, you go watch him pick up this stunt, which I love. I love how he picks up this stunt. Right. You got they're going to have one of the defensive ends attack John Simpson. Right. And then have 93 come around. But it's a great pickup by Simpson. Great hands inside. You see the good technique allows Carr to step up through the B gap. Right. And then, of course, you know, on this run right here, you see it once again, the low pad level. Look how low he is. But then his hands are just outside all the time. He's got to get his hands inside. He'd be so much better. But you still see there, even though the guy was able to lift him up and get a little push, he has so much power in his anchor that it didn't really matter, right? And you see it here again, right? But, you know, notice one thing, when he's fully in control, he's got his hands inside. Hands inside, totally different player. You can't even move when he gets his hands inside. So, like, I mean, once he starts doing that and getting his hands in the right spots, man, he's going to be so good, right? And then you see him lifting that, you know, building that home, like they say, with the anchor right on Tristan Hill. So you can see why Tristan Hill was getting a fight, because he basically was getting dominated all game. And then low pad level again. Look at the pad level, man. But then the hands are just terrible. But then he still moves them. it's just power, bro. But you see why he's able to generate the power. But then you can see sometimes when he plays like Cam Hayward, that, you know, not everybody's – this isn't, you know, Florida State. Basically what I'm saying. But you see there, he has good hands inside, moves the guy easily. Low pad level, moves him with ease. And, you know, it's just great to see this growth for him. He's getting better every single week. Picking up another stunt with Michael Parsons leads to a little out route. Great job by John Simpson. So John Simpson had his best game of the season, and I was really excited about that. So we got DeSean Jackson, right? Big DeSean Jackson. So, you know, I didn't want to talk about this first down look. So let's look at the Bengals on first down. Interesting. Oh, look at the Cowboys on first down. And then, you know, they don't touch DeSean Jackson. They just give him a free release against press. I don't even know why you're that close to him. You're not going to touch him. And then, of course, the free release for him. And then he just makes a play, touchdown. Like, I don't know what they're doing. But you kind of see if you're going to play single high against the Raiders, DeSean Jackson is going to he's going to make you feel it. He's going to make you feel that speed. You see here, just Trayvon Diggs doesn't get his hands on him. And then, of course, he has to grab him. Blatant grab. That's what he even called. So he fagged for these. They didn't call that one. But he just beats him off the line, has to grab him. Then you see him beats Trayvon Diggs off the line again. But you see how much, you know, how much he's causing, how much you see 18 Ks. He's rushing over there, opens up lanes for other players. I mean, if they wanted to run something with Zay Jones to that side, like a post with it, there was that post is wide open because of Casey, right? Casey was wide open. All right. So, and then you got this out right here, right? You got the out route, which I thought this one was kind of funny because this is like a bad route. The guy, he like rounds it off to like 8 steps, but he still burned him. Anthony Brown was so worried about the speed. That was like a good route. This is funny. All right. I want to talk about this play again. You see how he's, you know, getting this double team. He's getting some attention from the safeties, right? He's getting all that attention from the safeties. And it's going to come later because I think Greg Olsen adds a great adjustment to it. Okay. A great adjustment. As you see, they do the same thing. 18 and Trayvon Diggs, they play it the same way, but it's not a post route this time. He's running the dig. And Zay Jones is running the post route on the Yankee. Boom. And it's a big play. DeSean Jackson is able to get some yak. Raiders set up a game, not a game winning field goal, but they're able to build a lead. But DeSean Jackson still learned the offense a little bit. As you can see here, they're going to try to get him on the bootleg. I thought this was kind of funny. I'm like, yeah, DeSean, if you're looking that way, I mean, everybody's probably going to think that you're probably going that way. Oh, crazy. This doesn't work. I just thought that was kind of fun. And then you got here. I don't like how they're kind of throwing it up to him around the 30 either, though. I'm not a big fan of this because he's not a jump ball guy. So, like, let's just say this is a good corner. It's not Anthony Brown, right? He's boxed out. He's not going to be able to fight for the football. And there's not enough room from, like, the 30 for you to throw these jump balls to him. So I'm not really a big fan of that. I'm not a big fan of throwing the jump balls to him. So I think they have to save those deep balls for later on. But let's talk about Jalen Richard, man. Look at this block. Look at that first one picking up the blitz. Look at it. Let's watch it one more time. Slow motion, right? He's helping out, helping everything. Look, they pick up that cover zero blitz. First down, Bryan Edwards convert. Then you see, look at the communication. Look at communicate with Derek Carr here. You know what I mean? They're talking. You know, Jalen Richard understands everything, right? I got you. I got you, dog. You know what I'm saying? Quick chip, you know? Not too much of a blitz, but they pick it up. They weren't picking up blitzes that well last couple games, right? And then you see him, let me help my boy Foster Moreau out. You know what I'm saying? Give a quick chip on that one. So, I mean, he's an unsung hero on this team, bro. Like, if you're ever thinking about, like, why is Jalen Richard still here? His last game was, like, the perfect example of why he's getting paid. Like, and it's interesting to me, like, you know, they paid Kenyon Drake $6 million, and Jalen Richard basically does what he does just as well. I mean, I guess he does not as much with the hands and as a receiver, maybe, but he's like solid to pretty good there. You know what I mean? Like, right. An occasional drop there or whatever. But I think he's super underrated for the type of what he does to his team, what he means to the team, and how he helps the team in the situations. Because, I mean, they didn't have any problems picking up the blitz this week. And he was on the field for a lot of those plays. I think that's right. Super interesting that they didn't have those same problems that they were having the previous weeks. Like, if he's out there in the Chiefs game, do they pick up some blitzes differently? Do they pick up some other looks, or is he able to help out? Is he able to help, you know, certain things that are coming? You know, the Giants game too. He missed that game. I believe he missed that game, right?
Or he didn't play.
What?
Or he didn't play.
Or he didn't play that much. You know, it's things like that with him that he's kind of unsung hero. But like I said, it's that one throw to Jackson with the pass interference. I mean, that's basically how the Cowboys played them all game, man. They played just single high stuff. You kind of saw it. Some of those throws were deep in the fourth quarter, and they were still playing single high, man-to-man press coverage. I mean, they started backing up like a little bit, but it was too late by then. And the Raiders were still having chances to throw deep. I didn't really show all of them. I'll do more in the Carfax, but I do want to say that Jay Jones might be the worst tracker of the football I've ever seen in my life. I do want to say that. I think he.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
He's struggling. He's struggling downfield.
Just to track the football. Like, there's a one throw, and I'll show this more in the Carfax, but you know, Derek Carr kind of throws it up. And it's inside, right? It's inside, but like...
You talking about the touchdown that he didn't grab?
No, not that one. That was different. That was a touchdown he didn't grab. That was a different one. But this is the play that's almost intercepted by Malik Hooker, right?
Okay, yeah.
Intercepted, right? And the reason is because Carr, he throws a little inside, right? But, I mean, the ball is in the air, right? So if you're looking up at the ball in the air, I'm just trying to think, like, if it's not coming directly to me, I should be able to tell that, especially in like a dome. Like, it's not like the sun. Maybe it's a score. I don't know. But like the ball was going away from him. And he just kept running forward. And then, right. And then even like the jump ball that Derek Carr threw up to him, he like overran it. So I was like, I don't know what he's looking at when the ball's in there. It's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, like it's something that people take for granted a lot. I think the ability to track, run full speed down the field and find a ball in the air and adjust to it. Easier said than done. Okay, try it yourself. Okay,
it's
with your neighbor. Say, hey, I'm gonna run down the street. If you find someone who can throw the ball over 20 yards, and see if you could do it. It's easier said than done, and especially at the NFL level. But definitely, if you're saying that Zay Jones is having a hard time, I thought that it was egregious. I thought it was really bad, and it goes to show the style of offense that they're trying to play right now, which is kind of a little bit aided by just checking it up on the outside and trying to draw some pass interference penalties. Mm-hmm. And I know that you mentioned to me offline, like Raiders have been getting the secondaries have been getting really physical with the Raiders.
Yeah.
So you're, thinking maybe they're just trying to emphasize and selling, pass interference a little bit more so they can get some of these calls, right? And you saw it go in the Raiders' favor. Sure. Here's my thing on the Zay Jones play, okay? He's got him stacked, okay? He's already stumbled, thrown his arms up and everything. If he just, looks and is like, oh, I could just catch his touchdown at the same time. Why even? Because they didn't score a touchdown off that one, right? Right.
No.
But just try to score too. Like, okay, sell it, but try to score. Don't just sell it and be like, okay, play's over.
Yeah.
And just let the ball literally falls like 3 feet away from him on the ground.
I was
end zone at that. So
that's what I'm talking about him tracking the football, because the Bengals play the 3rd and 12 where they played the 3 high safeties and, Carr chucks it up to him. I thought he should have caught that ball too in bounds. You beat him into position, but if you track the football correctly, you catch the football inbounds and it's a big play, but
It's hopefully they don't just play for pass interference. Sure. Sell some pass interference. Great. If you get away with it, that's awesome. But at the same time, you still got to try to do something too.
Especially, if I don't expect Washington to kind of do what the Cowboys did, which is, come up and play straight up man to man, and play single high all game. So it's going to be a different type of game anyways for them. And they're going to have to find different ways. They're going to need time to attack those coverages and throw deep. So we'll see if they get more of that, because Carr's not going to be able to do the 3-step drop. Let me chuck it up this week.
Yeah. Not against Washington, no, but we'll get into that. We'll get into that.
Okay.
Why don't I jump into my segment here?
Okay.
I'm going to talk about the Raiders defense, obviously, but specifically the Raiders third down defense is what I'm going to talk about. It was something that, I did a thread kind of, doing some modeling, figuring out where the defense ranked. Where the Raiders defense ranked, and third down, getting off the field on third down was definitely a struggle point for them. So let's look at this. Okay, so Raiders earn their standard dime call, three buzz. They like to play zone. Right there, it's the cover three teams, so they're playing three buzz. Here we go. We got Donald Levitt. He's the high safety. But what Jonathan Abram does such a great job of, he's holding on to this window right here, forcing the check down to come, you know, rally to that tackle, tackle it short of the sticks. That's what the Raiders like to do. Next third down they get is the third and one. They give up like a 3 yard run on third and one. The Raiders are in base. They're in the under front. I think Hankins, probably, you know, one of his only, you know, not great snaps, gives up a little bit of a wide lane right there for the run.
Zach Martin too.
And it's, yeah. And of course, Zach Martin. Yeah. So here, Raiders are in three buzz. If we see it, we got like a natural kind of fence built around these two receivers here. So Dak is back here in the pocket. He goes, okay, we got a bunch of guys over there. He'll come back to the backside, see, oh, no one's covered, takes the check down, or no one's open, takes the check down. Jonathan Abram again with the tackle for a stop. And then we're going to start switching it up. They're going to get into cover one robber here. And I think that's a really good play call to get the little dig at the top of the screen, Jonathan Abram. But let's talk about this rep. He's in man coverage over the tight end. And here's the thing. Tight end goes for a little throw by here. And you see Jonathan Abram, he's knocked off balance. So clearly contact happened. Jonathan Abram, look, if he pushes, you pull. Okay, so this hand grabbing onto, you know, something low, something not very high so the rest don't see it. Be subtle about it. He pushes you, you pull onto him. Luckily, they didn't catch it. There we go. That's what I'm talking about. Could have been a different game in this situation. This guy dropped literally a like, this is perfect execution, everything, dropped it. So Raiders are 3-1 now over Dallas. Now they get into a fire zone on the next play. I think they do a great job. The secondary does a fantastic job. Down Levitt coming down on this crosser here. All the options kind of, you know, nullified there. But, you know, and it was out of a tricky formation. It was out of a 4-by-1 formation. So they stayed in the blitz. They didn't check out of the blitz. But here's another, you know, example of Dak missing his receivers. Great blitz call. First, we got Corey Littleton. He's going to take the tackle with him. Then we got Max Crosby coming inside. He's going to occupy this guard. No one's there to block Denzel Perryman. This is a 5-man fire zone pressure. But you see here, okay, Dak's waiting. He's going, oh, I know I don't got anyone to help me out here. There's no back to protect. I got to get the ball out quick. Number one, Cedric Wilson, I believe his name is, he needs to make a side adjustment here. He needs to sit. He's not even looking for the ball. He's not realizing it's a blitz. He just completely missed out on that. And sure, Dallin Levitt is here to make that tackle, but we don't know if Dallin Levitt makes that tackle, especially if it's Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb breaking a tackle. So yeah, the Raiders got off the field right there, but it really wasn't much to do with them. Now, here's an example in the red zone that the Nate Hobbs play where he kind of, you know, gives up that catch, really just gives up the run after the catch here because he's supposed to give up the catch. He has to make that tackle. But it's a funny thing that happened here for Nate Hobbs in that he sees the guy, he identifies him coming out, and then as he's going to look at Dak, the ball is coming out at the same right exact time. So he just kind of misses it. It's just like a weird eye violation. So he just misses it. He's just a hair late. And that's what happens when you're a hair late in the NFL. Okay. They went on and scored on the very next play, Dallas on the 1 yard line. Now they get into, I think this is great execution here across the board. They're in cover five slice. Everyone's man to man coverage, upfield shoulder, safeties, Dallin Levitt, Trayvon Merrick. They're getting ready to cut the first in breaking route, jump at something underneath there. Okay, they're flat foot read. So this is aggressive man coverage, cover five. At the bottom of the screen, Casey Hayward gets just bullied and then he gets called for pass interference. I thought that was weird because I'm not seeing him really do anything except for getting thrown around there. Not sure how that's pass interference. Disagree with that call. So Dallas got another one there. Now they get back into dime. They're in cover three still. They got four receivers to the field. Dallas is doing this a lot. Four receivers to the field. When they're in cover three, Jonathan Abram, he's always going to be the backside curl flat player. He's always going to, when they get four receivers, they get a 4-by-1. Instead of hanging out here, he's going to push past the middle of the field when they get that 4-by-1. And you see him track this down, track the screen pass down, tackle it. Again, another stop, third down. stop for Jonathan Abram tackling. Okay. And then they also, they stay in cover three for the next third down call. I think Perryman does a great job anticipating, jumping this window here, forcing Dak Prescott to get to his third read. We can see it a little better here from the end zone copy. Okay, watch Perryman here. He does just a great job. This is what I was talking about. He's jumping this already. He's not even dropping. He's jumping it. Okay, Dak Prescott, he's got his eyes on it. This is his second read now. He has to get all the way across the field, scan across the field to get to his third read here. And, you know, it's late. The pressure's there. Contributes to that being a missed opportunity. Again, wide receiver's got to catch that. Okay, number one, blowing it. Yeah. Didn't have a bunch of help. Now, I added this one in. I'm not counting this against the tally because this ended up being, I think, a hold on Dallas. But people were asking about this, what was happening on this play, because this is the play where Corey Littleton and Jonathan Abram were kind of arguing afterwards. They're in cover three, the standard cover three, okay? And this is the Y on the backside. So they got a wide receiver and a Y to the backside. Y is off. They're going to play this zone, true zone. So he's a curl flat. Jonathan Abram is a curl flat dropper, and Littleton is going to stay in the hook on top of this tight end, ideally. Now, what happens is when three goes fast to the boundary, both Abram and Littleton get out there, okay, and it leaves this tight end free to go up the seam. That's what they were arguing about. It was just both players were doing the same exact responsibility. They need to get the call in. So that's all that was about. Luckily, got called back for a hold call, 3rd and 13. But the funny thing is, the very next play, they also blow their coverage again. They're playing man coverage, but no one has the back. I'm not sure what's going on. Brandon Faison is not covering anyone. No one's covering the back. So they must have done something to get them kind of confused. Luckily, Brandon Faison reads through his man, comes off, and tackles it out of bounds. Raiders get off the field. 7-3 on third down conversions here. Now, this one is one robber again down Levitt. He's the robber. Everyone else is man underneath with Trayvon Merritt closing the top of the field, middle of the field, rather. And just a great job by Yannick Ngakoue to get upfield, realize, oh, I'm too far upfield, kind of wait for that moment to pounce here. You see him just eyes always, vision on the quarterback, never going to sleep. Yannick Ngakoue, that's the mark of a great rusher. That's those second effort rushes right there. Doing a great job so far this year, Yannick Ngakoue. He had a great game. Ready to get off the field again. Okay, now this is a funny one. Down Levitt at the top of the screen. Again, they got him in on the field. They're playing down cover three. Down Levitt, this is his window to jump in here. And you see him, you know, he gets greedy. He wants to go for this interception. I understand he's a DB. You know, hindsight's 20/20. But if he just goes for the big hit here and just lays Michael Gallup out, I think that this game isn't going to be as close in this situation. Okay, but he goes for the interception instead. Gives it up. Okay, that's the last third down, I believe, that they had. Now, this is my favorite. This is probably my favorite play of the entire game. This is Amik Robertson. This is two plays after he had to come in for Nate Hobbs. Right? Nate Hobbs got hurt on like the third to last play. You remember that? Or he was involved in a collision and then like the doctor had to go check him or whatever. So Amik Robertson comes in. They're playing man coverage. Okay. And Amik Robertson is man to man on the tight end in nickel and he just straps him. Okay. Incredible job, Amik Robertson. You see that? You see that tight end like look around like he's like, did that just happen to me? Okay, fantastic job, and Amik Robertson staying square, getting the reroute, throwing it off. Okay, and not only that, but he comes in, and the situation that he comes in at, you know, after being, you know, really bad and burned. And, you know, last time he was out there, great job stepping out, making a play for the Raiders. And then this is the very last one. You know, Dak Prescott, he's trying to make something happen. He, you know, gets out, flushes out of the pocket here. Who knows? If this is a hold by 78, does a little whiplash technique on him. Okay. Stops him again. Raiders 10 third down stops. Cowboys only converted 4 of them. You know, the third down defense, you saw they missed opportunities. So there was a fair share. Like, yeah, Raiders got 10 stops, mm-hmm. but it really probably should have been like seven.
Yeah.
To seven, it should have been like, you know, 50% right down the middle, really. And you saw, I'm just being objective. Like, it's just drop passes, literally. You know, like it's guys just like not looking at the quarterback who's under pressure, trying to get them the ball, and they're not even looking. So it's, yeah, the results are good, but sometimes you have to look at the results and be like, wait, how did that happen? What's the context behind these results? Yeah. And so it's not, you know, I wouldn't come away thinking, oh, the Raiders have solved their third down problems just because they had better numbers in that area, right? Mm-hmm. Prove, you know, time will tell. Going up against Kansas City, like, okay, that's going to really prove it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Going up against Tyler Heinicke next week, what do they do? What plan do they have for scary Terry, right? Terry McLaurin, rather. Mm-hmm. How do they keep Heinicke inside the pocket and not let him, you know, scramble for a first on third and seven? You know, something like those things. We got to keep on seeing some progress here. So, again, not like super juiced about the Raiders' defense. But I'm going to pivot real quick. I'm going to talk about their run defense, on the other hand, I thought was pretty darn good this week, right? Led by Hank, Big Hank, bro. This is probably his best game in a long time. Like he said, he had a couple good games in like 2018, like just fantastic games, 2019 with Paul Gunther. But now he's coming back, you know, to that form. I would say this is a fantastic game. He even had a pass breakup, you know, where he tipped the ball at the line. A bunch of run stops, some screen stop was thrown in there. Great, great game by Jonathan Hankins. You know, them holding, I think that was really the biggest achievement for the defense, holding the Dallas offense to the limited number of rushing yards that they were able to accumulate. That was the biggest thing. And I think that a lot of people see the numbers for the Raiders defense and they go, oh, they're bad run defense. And here's the thing. They're bad run defense because they don't try to stop the run. When they want to stop the run, they can stop the run.
I know. That's what I was
right. Yeah. So you see them, they're in base, they're getting into these under fronts, they're doing some of these things in third and one situations, you know, or second and ones or something like that, where they're getting some stops. So when the Raiders set their mind to it, they can stop the run if they want to, certainly. Yeah. And again, going up against Dallas, like you got Zeke, you got Tony Pollard, you got to stop the run, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So obviously they set their mind out to it, but you're not going to see them, you know, set their mind to stop the run against Kansas City, you know, against Chargers, something like that. That's not going to be in their game plan.
Yeah. But I mean, Washington, they might do that. They might do
for
that.
Sure. James Robinson got banged up a little bit. It's a short week. You know, he's probably going to be a little sore getting through this game. Bobby Wagner, Jordan Brooks are beating on him, man. This is a tough game for him. He's definitely going to be banged up, you know, going into the Raiders game, but JD McKissick, that guy's nasty.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what I'm even more scared of JD McKissick, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the Washington run game is going to be tough for them to stop. But, you know what I'm saying? And of course, you know, there's all these tweets about, you know, Gus Bradley playing single high, but I'm thinking like Dan Quinn did the same thing. We don't see any tweets, but I guess Derek Carr is, you know, I don't know. Maybe, you know, you could play man against him. It's stupid. It's just as dumb to play man against him than it is like anybody else. So, it's just so interesting, man. I don't know. That's why I don't expect Washington to play a man. I know a lot of people think that Del Rio is just gonna like try to attack him or whatever. Nah, Del Rio knows.
I don't think Del Rio's ever been a big blitzer. And you know, why would they change their game plan? You know, first of all, this guy is that William Jackson?
Yes.
That's playing for them.
Mm-hmm.
He's balling. I was about to text you. Like, that guy is phenomenal corner right now. Gosh, he's playing really well.
Yeah.
You know, I think that their defensive line, you know, that's going to be scary. So mm-hmm. it's definitely not, it's not going to be a light one. You know, they just beat the Bucks like 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah. I mean, they won three in a row. They're not going to be an easy out at all, but. The Raiders, they got to show up. They got to get the play action game going. That's what they got to do. They got to stick with the play action, and I think they could move the ball that way. As long as they keep play actioning, they'll be able to move the football, because that's the only way they can move the football right now. Anyways, I mean, this happened in this game. This is the only way they move the football. The only way they move the football against the Bengals is play action. The only way they move the football against the Chiefs is play action. So, I mean, if that's the only way you're moving the football, and they're able to put up 30, even though they really couldn't move the football any other way in this game,
right?
right? I mean, I'm telling you, the success rate was 40% on their plays. They had 11 successful plays in the first half out of 33, guys. They did not really move the football that well. Second half, they were a lot better. They were a lot better in the second half, I thought. They didn't have to depend on the PIs as much to move the football. But the first half, yeah. I mean, that's what they really depended on was the PIs. And they didn't have a lot of successful plays. Like, they weren't moving the football well. But in the second half, they did. They kind of picked it back up in the second half because, you know, they had a total of 31 successful plays. It tells you they had 20 of them in the second half. You know what I mean? So they had a better half after that. But, you know.
A couple questions in the comments. Let's jump into them real quick. Okay. We got Carlos Alfonso Gonzalez. Do you guys think that Cleland can be converted into some type of linebacker elephant position like Dana Stubbefield back in the day? No, he's way too big. Not athletic enough. Definitely not 100% no to that. He's a two gap defensive end in a one gap system right now. You know, we'll see if the new coaching staff wants him or they try to trade him. Honestly, Casey, I'm gonna throw this one to you. Casey, he also donated to the channel, so we appreciate you. Holler at you, Casey. He says, great show. Thoughts on clock management. Okay, do you have any opinions, ideas, thoughts on clock management from Rich Bisaccia?
I have a lot of complaints about Rich Bisaccia. I think Rich Bisaccia is, like, way too conservative. I think the Raiders are having problems on third down, and we're seeing, like, these fourth and twos, and he's still kicking field goals, and I think they got to take some chances and try to get those. The Raiders are, you know, they've gone for it four times since week six. You know, and they've made three of them. So, I mean, if they want to be more aggressive and not kick as many field goals, they need to go for it on fourth down. And we saw Derek Carr trying to beg him to do it after they got that false start. He was like begging him, like, hey, come on, man, let's go. You know, I mean, because if they get that and then they score, I mean, that's game. The game's over, you know, then it's not a field goal game that they were playing. So, he's got to be more aggressive with that.
He's not going to be aggressive against his old team that he used to coach, you know, like, he's not going to be aggressive.
Yeah, and that's bad. You know,
we're not going to see
that. You're playing the Chargers and you're in a tight game. Brandon Staley's going for it on 4-3. Yeah. You know, he's going to go for it. So he has to adjust to that. They cannot play the field goal game because he thinks field goals are okay. And I don't know if that philosophy comes from
he's a special teams coach. He loves Jason field goals.
Garrett guys, he's a Jason Garrett guy, John Gruden guys. John Gruden loves field goals too. Like, John Gruden was kind of getting past that a little bit. Not as 2019 he kicked a lot of field goals. 2020 he went for a lot more, and then this past year, you know, we saw some stuff from going for fourth and one out of 34 in his own 34. So he was changing a little bit, but I still think, you know, Bisaccia has to change that. But also the conservative stuff, a mindset at the end of the halves, and, you know, those things have to change too. But I don't know. I don't think it's going to change. And so I think even if they make the playoffs and they go on a little run here or something and they make the playoffs, I think they still got to get rid of them.
Yeah, probably. I mean, yeah, I'm definitely leaning towards that 100%. Last question before we get out of here. Trey Major says, seen Washington play in a lot of too high defense, but I think you can attack Collins. Do you agree? He's talking about Landon Collins. Washington is playing Landon Collins at safety or linebacker right now?
I think they're playing him at linebacker.
If he's playing at linebacker level, he's going to be probably to the backside. We're talking about choice routes, the tight end when he's away in the 3-by-1, the back out of the backfield in the 3-by-1. You know, if we're talking specifically about attacking Landon Collins in coverage, but, you know, yeah. if he's at the second level, he has safety help over the top, so he shouldn't be too big of a liability. Nope. Even though he would be if he was deep.
I would say my strategy for this too, he's asking questions about Washington and getting too far into it, but they got to attack these safeties because the safeties is the weakness of this whole defense. They don't have good safeties over there.
Who are their safeties again?
I think some dude named Wilson, and then maybe Troy Apke. I don't know if Troy Apke's still playing out there.
Troy Apke is their safety.
Wow. Right, he's one of their safeties. But you know, that's a weak spot for them. So
combine legends.
Yes. So you have to like set them up for like Jackson on the inside and kind of do what they did against the Chiefs a little bit, where he gets Jackson one-on-ones with those safeties, you know, kind of attack that middle of the field that way when they're playing the split safeties. And that's a little bit what the Seahawks try to do too as well, but you just need time for it. So, yeah, that's what
you need. You need time. It definitely helps that, Chase Young is hurt, right?
Yeah, but they still got Jonathan Allen. And what
– yeah.
And what they're going to do is they're going to try to get Jonathan Allen one-on-one and outside of the wood as much as possible on third down. They're going to try to isolate him. They're going to leave Andre James alone. They're going to put him straight on the three technique. And they're going to make him go one-on-one with Alex Leatherwood. That's going to be what they're going to do. Probably every time. They're probably going to switch him. Every third down, he's going to be lined up
with Alex Leatherwood. He's going to be right up right there, right?
We're going to see. Hopefully Leatherwood remembers his techniques from when they played together at Alabama. So
I don't know. He's probably way before. Jonathan Allen's been in the NFL for like 4 years now, no?
Yeah, that's true. Huh? I don't know.
He's probably a little bit before him, but yeah. I was thinking about Alabama on Bama. But see, we're going to find out, right?
Yeah.
At this point, Bama guys aren't having a great track record for the Raiders, got to say.
No, they're not.
A little better than Clemson, you know. Well, running around for one to Clemson, so I guess we got to give them that.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else for you before we get out of here, bro?
Nah, man, we're good, bro. We're good.
All right. That's it. That's the Raiders Film Channel. We did a recap of the game against the Dallas Cowboys. If you were here for the entire stretch of it, you saw Marcus talk about DeSean Jackson, talk about Jalen Richard. We talked about those guys, we talked about the Raiders third down defense. So definitely we'll try to put the, you know, we'll try to get this video posted up. We'll put the links, you know, the timestamps, so you can go back and see our reviews right there. Make sure you follow us on Twitter as well. Myself at BD Williams 18, Marcus at the Mark John NFL. And last thing before we go, make sure you hit up Manscaped, enter the promo code TDL for 20% off plus free shipping for any of their products. Like Marcus was saying, the holidays are coming. Okay, get yourself something for someone in your life from Manscaped. It also helps support the channel. We appreciate you guys. Holla at you, Raider Nation. Yeah.
Peace.